Hello, welcome to the Monday, May 12th, 2014 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm the recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Got an interesting blog post from Rob on Friday. Rob is sort of taking a little bit a step back and looking at the larger issues when it comes to security and tries to get a little bit away from firefighting, which of course as part of the United Storm Center we are a lot involved in, and his headline says it, you know, with Heartbleed and with Internet Explorer 0 days, it's sometimes easy to get sort of bogged down by all of the firefighting that you have to do in larger networks. So he's trying to look at some of the strategies that you can employ in order to get your make your life a little bit easier. His first point, I think, is actually something that I stress a lot, whether it is web application security or intrusion detection, and that's having an accurate inventory. This can be very difficult, and we talked lately a lot about Internet of Things and vulnerable devices, which of course are particularly tough to inventory in many networks. Personally, I like passive monitoring a lot here, but I think you really need the right mix of policies to make your life somewhat easier, and then technologies to back up these policies like active scanning for devices and also passive monitoring. And sticking with our Internet of Things and devices theme here, turns out that the security research group NCC released some demonstrations showing how an internet-capable TV can be turned into a spy appliance by turning on its microphone and recording conversations in the room. I don't think anybody listening to this podcast should be that surprised by it. Actually, the risk isn't all that huge. And just to apply some hype filtering here, in order to deploy the exploit, you do need physical access to the TV, or you need the user to willingly install the application. In the second case, of course, we have seen with Android that users are willingly installing malicious applications if you just give them a good reason, like some free porn or so, in order to install it. The one remote feature that may be somewhat exploitable here is the auto update. It looks like the auto update feature in this TV is not authenticated, so an attacker may be able to abuse that feature to replace a normal application with a malicious one. And Twitter is improving the security of password resets somewhat by allowing users the option to reset a password either via email or by sending an SMS message to a phone number the user left with Twitter. This way, if you, for example, are traveling and don't have access to a full email client, you could use the SMS option, or vice versa. If you are without your phone, you can then use the email version. Both methods are reasonably good, I would say, for a Twitter account, but remember, Twitter also now allows two-factor authentication, so that's probably something you want to set up in addition to setting up a phone number with a Twitter for password reset purposes. I just experimented with that a little bit myself, and if you don't have a phone number set up, it looks like you immediately will get a reset code sent via email. So make sure you do have that phone number associated, and then the two-factor authentication also requires a phone number, because essentially the way it works is not with a token that you have to enter, but instead Twitter just will send you a confirmation as an SMS message whenever someone logs into your account. Now, the one thing that Twitter does sort of right with the password reset is that once you reset your password, you're immediately being redirected to a list of all the applications that have access to your account, because that's a common thing attackers do, is that they will add applications to your account in order to maintain control over your account via OAuth tokens that are not revoked whenever you're resetting your passwords. And IBM released a patch for its Java cryptography extension. Turns out the random numbers generator was not all that great and pretty predictable. This latest patch fixes this problem. This is in particular serious in Java. You have two random number functions, random and secure random. This bug affected secure random, the random number function that you're supposed to use for security relevant features, like for example generating encryption keys. So if you are using the IBM JCE provider and if you have it enabled in your application, then please patch. The recommendation is to even patch if you don't use IBM Secure Random explicitly, because other features that you may use will use this insecure function. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.